The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Every take it is in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This is Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You got your, a burgundy quarter zip?
Yeah, a little quarter zip, yeah.
A little burgundy and gold later in the week from Kelly. Who knows? Thanks for joining us this morning. We got a good show. Drew Densick returns once again to the program. Double dip with Drew, who does the deep dive and the Bet the Edge podcast. We'll talk NFL wild card, super wild card weekend, that is, with him momentarily. Todd Wright, the greatest sports radio host there ever was, to talk about Super Wild Card Weekend as well. Maybe some tennis with Drew. We'll see. I don't know if he's betting any. Drew and I doing an Australian Open pod pre-draw tomorrow. Then Zach Cohen with the post-draw on Friday.
Ooh, I like it.
Not to mention a megapod with Cleve T.A., Will, Todd, and I. So big podcast week as well. And then later on the show, Samo bombing with Mike Somich, Will Hill. They'll be here. We'll talk Super Bowl exactas, NFL draft number one. By the way, both Samo Baum and Will see what their plays are for the college football semifinals as well.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that coming up on the show. I just wanted to start today because, you know, what's your relationship with the ESPN show? Pardon the interruption. Do you still watch that show at all?
Occasionally, I feel like it's impossible to always avoid it. You and I have texted a couple times. It's taken on a life of its own now with Michael Wilbon,
yes.
Just old man hating on everything.
Oh,
so
he's got the Lombardi anti-analytic stance on everything. He wedges it
betting,
into everything.
It's betting odds don't matter. Don't tell me who a favorite is. I don't care.
I don't care what Vegas says. Right. So there was a time in my life where I watched it religiously.
Yes.
But yes, you're right. Now it's sort of like, oh, something was on before this. Look, PTI's on kind of thing. So yesterday I happened to catch 90 seconds of it. And Tony Kornheiser, who does not have a vote in any NFL awards, they just brought up randomly offensive rookie of the year. And so I'm sitting here thinking, you know, Jaden Daniels is going to win this thing. But again, sometimes we are too close to the sun on things. So I think it's worthwhile bringing up that Kornheiser and Wilbon had their brief little exchange. Kornheiser believes that Knicks and Jaden Daniels is a toss up. And so when pressed on the matter, he's like, I'd call it a push and I'd vote for Brock Bowers. And so it got me to thinking, I was like, maybe we should probably revisit this for a second. We're absolutely sure Jaden Daniels is winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, right? Right?
Yes.
I am, I think. But it's going to be, let's put it this way, it's going to be a lot closer than I thought it would be. And because I thought it would be unanimous. So it's not going to be unanimous. It's going to be closer-ish. Let's put it that way.
Well, who comes in second? I guess that's the bigger question to me. I think Daniels, and we're going to roll through some of these awards here, but Daniels didn't even list it anymore. Like, Offensive Rookie of the Year, I didn't see a DraftKings
or
a FanDuel. You can't even bet on it.
Well, the difference between MVP, which is a de facto quarterback award, you can compare stats, right? Because they're all playing the same position if you believe that it's going to a quarterback no matter what. Rookie of the Year, you've got wide receivers and tight ends. Like, again, Brian Thomas Jr., great year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brock Bowers, a record year for the Raiders as a tight end. And then you have Knicks and Jaden Daniels. And if you put their stats side by side, they're actually pretty similar. But Jaden, of course, has about five ridiculous endings to games. And that's kind of the tiebreaker, I think.
Led him teams to the playoffs, which we don't see often.
They both went to the playoffs. But Jaden led it, you know, as a savior for a moribund franchise. There's a whole bunch of things. Anyway, Bill Barnwell put out a piece yesterday where he started ranking. He has a ballot. He's an actual voter. And he did go for Rookie of the Year, and this is my Offensive Rookie of the Year. This might surprise you in the other direction. He went Brian Thomas Jr. 3, Brock Bowers 2, Jaden Daniels 1, Bo Nix not even in the top 3. So it's amazing how opinions on all of this. Again, let's just agree, not only are there not enough awards to go around this year, but within the same award.
It's a stacked rookie class. Like, that's the we're going to talk MVP here in a second. Like, it's two amazing quarterbacks there. But this rookie class, you could make a case for a lot of these guys. I mean, Kill, I don't even know if I realize this. I just pulled up receiving yards leaders. Do you realize that three of the top eight guys are rookies?
Yeah.
Top eight receiving yards in the NFL belong to rookies this year.
Malik Nabers being the third in there as well, right?
Yeah, Brian Thomas Jr., third in the NFL in receiving yards this year is where he ended up finishing. Malik Nabers, seventh, and Brock Bowers tied with CeeDee Lamb for eighth.
It's incredible.
And Brock Bowers third in the NFL in receptions.
But Jaden will win. I just thought that was an interesting little conversation between Kornheiser and Wilbon, where I'm like, okay, maybe I'm a little too close to the sun. Really? You think you would vote for Brock Bowers? Wow.
Because you can't do that, though. You can't be like, well, I got two guys tied at the top, so let me put this third guy above both of them. So, like, you don't do that.
So stupid. All right, let's start with MVP real quick. Want to do this? Let's do this.
Let's do this. We should have gotten Elliot Bowman out here, a producer of By the Books before us, because, oh, man, I haven't heard Elliot so feisty this morning, saying that these odds are so off and Lamar Jackson should not be plus 350.
He's right. They're completely off. Josh Allen's minus 470. Ballots have to go in here now. The season is over. The regular season is a regular season award. Josh Allen minus 470. Lamar Jackson plus 350. Saquon is 75-1, by the way, third spot in the betting market. There's no world in which Josh Allen should be minus 470 and Lamar Jackson plus 350. Again, the objective take is that both have had spectacular seasons, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they do both play the same position. And so if you believe they've both had great seasons, you do have to rely on some kind of objective analysis, right? And Lamar Jackson has the fifth highest passer rating in a season ever, 119.63. The first ever with 40-plus touchdown passes and fewer than five interceptions in a season, 41-4. He's the first ever 4,000-yard passer and 800-yard rusher. He ended up with 41-72 and 9-15, respectively. And he leads the NFL, and he led the NFL in touchdown percentage, air yards per attempt, net air yards per attempt, so on and so on. Plus, when they played head-to-head, the Ravens crushed the Bills. He won a division that was much harder, I believe, the AFC North is, than the AFC East. And oh, by the way, their schedule, you know, riffing on that, is way, we talked about this a little yesterday, way more difficult than the Bills was.
Yep.
So again, if you want to vote for Josh Allen, that's obviously you're right, and that's you're entitled to that opinion. But what I objected to is when I posted those stats for Lamar Jackson on Saturday after the Ravens game, you have a fringe Josh Allen nut job, you know, sect. That is like, oh, get over it. It's over. If you think it's not, if you think it's over and that it's not even close, I don't even know what to tell you. I just listed historic numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the reason in the end is that some of these voters, yeah, we just don't want to give it to him a third time. That's as brain dead as what we were just talking about with Rookie of the Year and Kornheiser.
I mean, look, I think it's a little bit of a feel thing, because I think you've done a great job bringing this up multiple times this season. It's the when you watch these two teams. Who does it feel like is just feel, and it's a feel thing, yes. Who does it just feel like is their entire offense? And it is Josh Allen.
I do concede that point the entire time. That if you were doing it literally, and you're like, well, if you remove that person from the team, what's the record of the team? You're right. Josh Allen, the Bills probably win two games.
Yeah, but like the Jokic like comparisons just are so ridiculous, and I think there is a little bit of voter fatigue going on. It's just so silly that we have to talk about this ever when we're worried about these awards bets. But
we're gonna have Aaron Schatz on tomorrow.
Can't wait to hear what he's gonna say.
He's one of the 50,
and we're doing our numbers game award show either tomorrow or Thursday, depending on
explain
when I
explain to folks what that is.
Well, we got all the regular guests here on a numbers game to contribute on who they would have winning each of these awards. So right. Not who do they think is gonna win, but who would they have winning if they actually had to submit a ballot? So we'll run through all of this.
So Fezzik will be voting. Drew Didsik will be voting. Will Hill will be voting. All of our regulars will be voting on this, plus you and me.
That's right. JVT, Will, Jason, Felika, Fezzik.
So Josh Allen, minus 470, Lamar Jackson, plus 350. I don't know who's going to win, but I'm just telling you, Josh Allen shouldn't be no damn
I'm okay
minus 470.
Yeah, I'm okay with Josh Allen. I feel like I've said this 3 weeks in a row. Very okay with Josh Allen being the favorite. I think he's probably going to win. But these odds are
I don't know if he's going to win or not. I really don't. Because Sando, last time he was on, he's a voter too, right? He was all about Lamar. He said Allen was narrowing the gap. So I don't know.
The one I'll bring up before Drew comes on, because I heard it on the deep dive. I can't remember if Drew or Andy said it. I think one of the other things that I've changed my mind on, and I agree with them what they said with this, was, okay, if we talk about this 5-6 weeks ago, it looked like the Ravens still may have a shaky finish to the season, right? And the records might be drastically different. But you're talking about a one-win difference with these two, a one-game difference with these two in the standings. And you're not talking about the Bills being a one seed, right? So you're not talking about a team that a quarterback led this team to a dominant regular season in a conference, because the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes are still two games clear of them in the standings.
For coach of the year, do you want to know what Barnwell's top three were?
Sure. I'm like, I can't make fun of this. I mean, we've brought this up all year. I don't even know what they are.
Number three was Jim Harbaugh, Chargers. Okay. Number two, Kevin O'Connell of the Vikings. And number one, he gives it to Dan Campbell. Sean Payton, nowhere to be found in his top three.
I don't have a problem with that. I was typing up the odds this morning, Gillian.
15-2 is 15-2.
You know what I was shaking my head at? I'm like, Dan Quinn. Like, your guy, Dan Quinn. Just like, what an amazing job, and he's not even going to sniff it.
Because he's an offensive coach, and Jaden Daniels is you
Who
know.
Who cares? That entire well, team is changed. I don't think that Dan entire Quinn's... franchise is different than what it was a year ago.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody's like, it's because of Dan Quinn, necessarily. The defense has been sort of choppy.
Sure, but we all thought it was going to be like one of the worst in the league. They got a little bit better throughout the season.
Oh, they're way better than some people say they are. They're way more middling than people. Some people are like, they're terrible on defense. They're not terrible on defense. There's a lot of these are interesting. Comeback player of the year, you'll be happy. Sam Darnold, nowhere to be found. He's got Tony Jefferson, a safety of the Chargers, 3, J.K. Dobbins, 2, and Joe Burrow, 1.
Well, that means it's someone who's following the rules.
Someone who's following the rules.
Yeah.
Defensive rookie of the year. You know who's going to be happy? My Dolphins friend Reza. Kalen Bullock of the Texans, 3, Jared Verse, 2, and Chop Robinson, 1.
There we go.
He's
all
voting
right.
Chop.
So, dude, I think that one's still up in the air. I think defensive player is still up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, these are kind of fascinating. Anyway, I just think it's one of these years where do any of us know how any of these are going to go?
I mean, like, Patrick Sertan's still up there at, like, minus 700? Is anybody for certain that's happening?
Oh, I should check out what Barwell had for that. 3JackH3131 tweets, and Gil, speaking of MVP, is Puka worth a flyer at 200-1 for Super Bowl MVP? Oh, well, that's a whole different conversation.
Ooh.
We'll get into that. Drew is next, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, look at that bottle. Look at that. Look at that, Kelly. Sewell's Barbecue Sauce. Southern hospitality never tasted so good. If you're ready to take your tailgate to the next level, you got to try Sewell's. Born from a backyard cookout in a mason jar of unforgettable flavor, Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, delighting taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From smoky ribs to mouth-watering wings, the perfect backyard burger, Sewell's turns every bite into a flavor-packed experience. Order now at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's SEWELLSBBQsauce.com. Flavor this good, just a click away. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Before we get to Drew, real quick, let me just, for the sake of thoroughness, get through the rest of Bill Barnwell's 3-2-1 on all of these. Defensive player of the year.
Right.
Defensive player of the year. This may surprise folks.
Nothing surprises me in this market.
In this particular market, right. 3, Zach Bond, Eagles. 2, Patrick Sertan, Broncos. 1, Trey Hendrickson, Bengals. He's going to vote for Hendrickson.
So this is where Hendrickson screws up everything here. He's 3.5 sacks clear of the rest of the field. So when we want to talk Watt, you want to talk Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Hendrickson is there 3.5 sacks clear, but you can't possibly give it to Trey Hendrickson when we've talked about the Bengals all year, and the only thing that's held them back is their defense.
Hendrickson's not even listed in this market.
Not even listed.
Not even listed.
Or he's longer than 75-1.
Sertan, who, by the way, those of us a certain age remember his dad. His dad was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He's Patrick Sertan II, minus 500, TJ Watt plus 850, everybody else double digits. Andrew Van Ginkle is actually the next one.
That's what I brought up yesterday. Yeah. I really wanted to see what happened in this market if Van Ginkle grabbed that interception and took it back for 6.
That's all it takes sometimes with some of these guys. Offensive player of the year, this is from Barnwell. 3, Derrick Henry. 2, Ja'Marr Chase. 1, Saquon. No surprise there. And then I didn't mention how he had MVP stacked up, right? He has Saquon 3rd. And then he did a whole long dissertation about Lamar versus Josh Allen. And he ends up with Josh Allen 2, Lamar Jackson 1. Drew Dinsick joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the host of not one but two podcasts, The Deep Dive with Andy Molitor, Dinsick Classic, which, by the way, Drew, let me just say, I have heard more buzz about The Deep Dive this year than any year. People love the repartee between you and Andy. And then, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge with Jay Croucher. No, seriously, man, people love The Deep Dive. You should get your, as the kids say, your flowers for such a thing.
Awesome. Well, that's great to hear. Yeah. I mean, it's if you didn't already know, It's basically a passion project. Nobody's paying us to do that.
Yeah.
We're just doing it because we love to chop it up. And it's honestly a huge part of my process. Once you say stuff out loud, you kind of hear if it's smart or stupid. It's like, oh, I thought I had an edge here, but now that I have to defend it in front of Andy, who's a very pragmatic individual, I feel like I maybe made a bad bet. And so, yeah, that's sort of the nature of the program. And I love it.
I want to hold off the awards and your Super Wildcard Weekend thoughts to the second segment. I want to get through a couple other sports.
I got to clear up something real quick. I screwed up. Speaking of stupid, Hendrickson is listed. He is plus 850 right next to Watt.
Okay. That's a noteworthy omission there. Okay.
I mean, guys, did you see what he did? He stopped the mighty Russell Wilson. if we're going to give credit to the 3.5 sacks he got on Saturday, we're going to give Russell Wilson a vote himself because he walked into a few of those sacks. My goodness. What this is just these awards markets. Sometimes what they hinge on at the very end of seasons is so ridiculous. And I have no idea who wins Defensive Player of the Year. It's probably going to be like a monster split vote. And it's going to come down to, where, second and third place, how many ballots you're on there. And so Surtain probably wins because he may get a lot of second place votes. But absolutely ridiculous. I do think Watt is drawing dead, though, and I don't agree that he's still in the mix personally.
Yeah, well, twist my arm. We'll talk about awards because it's so interesting to talk about. What's the one that would be the most outlying for you?
Most outlying? You mean like
based on the market? Based on the market, like what's the most off market Drew Dinsick vote at if you had a vote?
Well, I think Lamar is not priced correctly.
I agree.
There's like a weird thing happening right now where everybody is kind of really hemming and hawing and like searching my soul. What do I do? And I think that there is like a weird thing happening where there's an expectation because of what the odds are that Josh Allen is going to win. So that's almost giving license to people to do what they think is more popular, which is vote for Lamar. I'm not even sure I'm explaining this right, but it feels like this bizarro dynamic where people like want to be on the cool side of the discussion, so they're going to vote for Lamar, but they think that's okay because Josh is just going to win. And I think that's going to create a scenario where this comes down to like it's. I just think it's going to be like, it's going to be very close to 50-50. And there is a absolutely bizarre relationship between the odds markets and what the voters do in all of these awards.
Agree.
That is, it has become so entangled that you almost have to like think like, are the voters looking at the odds and saying, I'm not going to do that because I don't agree? Or are they looking at the odds and saying, well, if that's just what's going to happen, then I'm going to do something different for my award because I want this to be at least part of the discussion, or I want to make sure it's closer, so I'm going to put Lamar first. Like,
Or are they looking at the odds at all? We don't know.
I'm sure there are like 10 or 15 that are just completely divorced from that entirely. Yep. But there are certainly like 20 to 25 of the 50 voters who live on social media still and like have a very, very internet brain kind of experience with all of these votes. And it's going to be very close.
That's what makes the betting so interesting, right? Because there's no real world sports betting where up to the gun here, you can bet on something like Lamar Jackson at plus 350, right? And think to yourself, oh, I got a legit shot here.
Yeah. I think, and I guess, so two thoughts then. I just think it should be closer to 50-50 because I don't know that it's this clear cut. And
I agree.
And again, like with my imaginary vote, I voted for Josh Allen last year. So with my imaginary vote this year, I can vote for Lamar Jackson with a clean conscience, guys. But I will say that like this one, I don't know what's going to happen. I would say 51-49 Josh. And so if you're going to say, well, if you think that's how the votes exist now with no new information, then Josh Allen might as well be minus 1,000 because he's just going to win. If you think he's going to win by a very, very small margin or win by a large margin, the price shouldn't change. Right. But I don't have high confidence that he's gonna win this one. And if he wins, I think it's gonna be by an absolutely razor thin margin. The other one that I think is mispriced is Coach of the Year. I don't think Kevin O'Connell's got this at all.
Who would you vote for?
I would vote for Dan Quinn, but I think Dan Campbell's gonna scoop this.
So the bet you think Dan Campbell is going to win, but I think
he's gonna win.
You would vote Dan Quinn. I'm a Washington guy and I wouldn't vote Dan Quinn. That's interesting to me.
I look at Coach of the Year literally as like, what have you done with, you know, what have you done with the pieces that you were given? I don't understand how Dan Quinn did this. I don't. I bet the only awards bet that I'm really going to take home serious.
I got two words for it. I know that was rhetorical, but I do have two words. Sure. The first Daniels, word is sure. Jaden, and sure. the second is Daniels. Yes.
Sure. So you remember him, if you go back to the tape a million years ago, what's your favorite awards bet? It was Jaden Daniels for offensive rookie of the year at 7-1. And the reasoning was like super straightforward, which was the margin between him and Caleb is not that great. And Jaden Daniels is going to be on this team with this defense that can't stop anyone. And so he's going to have lots of garbage time to rack up yards and like, you know, and he's got the rushing component. So like his statistical profile is going to be gaudy. And then sure enough, yeah, he does exceed expectations in every stretch, you know, in every definition of the word. But I cannot believe what Dan Quinn did and his influence on the personnel they brought, like all of the C team from the Cowboys defense over, all those guys like played well. And just in general, like the kind of stewardship of that franchise being functional was notable. And they turned over the entire roster and he got it done. So I think he deserves more.
I'm saying it's a great job. Frankie Louvu, Dante Fowler. I mean, there's been a couple guys on this defense that have been unbelievably awesome and it's not really recognized nationally, but is that more impressive? I'm just being real here. Is that more impressive as, again, we just went through Bill Barnwell. He doesn't even have Sean Payton as top three. No one dislikes Sean Payton as a human more than I do. But he drafted Bo Nix. We all mocked it. He coached Bo Nix up. I mean, the improvement that he showed, Nix. I mean, Peyton to me is as worthy as anybody for this.
I don't disagree, but I also think that the Broncos and their success was somewhat schedule based, much more so than what Peyton did as coach. And like, if it's not Quinn, in my again, because like who exceeded my expectations the most for me was the Washington defense, the Washington team, and Quinn deserves some recognition. Campbell also deserves recognition because his specific decision making, his fourth down aggressiveness, his ability to lead that team, took them to the one seed when they were not the most talented team in the NFC, in my opinion.
15-2 is 15-2. By the way, Washington had a pretty easy schedule too when you put it all in the wash as well. Okay, we'll get some tennis thoughts, we'll get some basketball thoughts, and some Super Wild Card Weekend thoughts from Drew. Bets ahead right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're getting ready for Big Game 59. With a big deal to match. Save $59 off a VSiN Pro Annual subscription when you sign up using promo code ANG. Become a VSiN Pro Annual subscriber. Bet smarter all year long with full access to our daily best bets, exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access, and of course, all our betting guides and expert picks for the Super Bowl and upcoming March Madness. Don't miss out on this big game deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
Promo code ANG as in A Numbers Game Gill.
To save $59 off a VSiN Pro Annual subscription today, that's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Kevin Ryan, Gil, speaking about Tony Kornheiser, most people don't know that when he gave up his morning time slot on ESPN, he was replaced by a guy nobody knew, Colin Cowherd. Shrek, Hendrickson 14-1 right now. LOL, DPOY, wherever he's looking.
Yeah, Sean Barone.
Colin Murphy, I did a deep dive on the Defensive Player of the Year award the other day. As far as Hendrickson goes, the only player to win the award on a losing team since 2000 was Jason Taylor in 2006. You familiar with his sister at all?
Mm, yeah.
However, they had the fifth-ranked defense. The Bengals ranked 28th. New York Mets 16. Why is Bengals D a negative for Hendrickson when we were railing for Wemby and his team's miserable D? Trey's the only guy on that D, and he's 2.5 sacks clear. What else is he supposed to do? Rick Ollier, award show. Will there be speeches? If so, hopefully Fezzik wins something. I'd love to hear him thanking everyone by telling them they're all stupid for not driving 15 miles for a free donut hole from O'Shea's or any other similar advantage play. Just kidding. We all love Fez. And finally, Mike C. Don't we have to remember that Josh Allen was nowhere to be found against Lamar? Love all the feedback. I leave them all without comment.
I will say, to tease the award show whenever we get there, to no one's surprise, I did get multiple ballots back that included certain awards next to it, just written, I have no clue, put the favorite or whatever you want.
Oh, wow.
Well, just because they're angry about it.
Glad to see that our guests have really bought into our little award show.
I believe it was, I believe the two awards I saw that for were Defensive Player of the Year and Comeback Player of the Year.
Well, they're right. Drew Dinsick joins us once again at @whale_capper on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Deep Dive, yes, and of course, Bet the Edge podcasts. But we were just having a conversation off air. Like, it does get ridiculous if you're listing three, and at one point, apparently, they thought about five Comeback Player of the Years in a list. It's like, come on.
Yeah, it is. And not to spoil it, but thank you, Kelly, for giving me a vote in the awards show. And yes. I haven't submitted mine yet because I'm agonizing over who to put fifth for Comeback Player of the Year.
Right.
But yeah, the narratives that swirl around this is so insane. And yeah, it's endless content. It's fun to talk about.
Well, let's try to put an end to it. Let's move on to Super Wild Card Weekend. What have you bet?
I mean, all these prices look fair to me, Gil. All right, that's a wrap. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. There's a lot that I'm not really kind of getting here. Mostly it's totals. In general, I think the totals opened far too high. There was like a little bit of a, when we're at the end of the season and none of the games matter, and there was an offensive explosion to end the season, I think that kind of set the benchmark for what kind of a median total should be, a little bit high. At least that's my guess as to what was going on here, because there's not like a ton of weather to be concerned about here. But I think I have every under except for the Bills Broncos in pocket. The biggest mover, of course, was the Steelers Ravens. I got 45.5 there. That's down to 44. I still think that's too high. That's maybe the game I have the strongest opinion on, just because I feel like there's one unit that there's one matchup between offense and defense that you can say, like, yeah, like, I know what's going to happen here. This is going to be like a 10-point output for the Steelers offense. And so if the Steelers cover, it's because the Steelers defense holds the Ravens to 17. And, I think there's pretty kind of minor scope in the absence of Zay Flowers for the Baltimore Ravens to just go absolute ham and put 31 up on the Steelers here. And so, it's funny to me that this is out to 10, considering we just had this market open 5, close 7, and then like we've learned that much more about the Ravens and the Steelers since then. Like, we knew the Steelers and the Ravens were a touchdown apart. Now it's 10.
Yeah.
And in the interim, we've lost Zay Flowers. I'm assuming Zay Flowers is out. I know that that's not a confirmed, but I'd be blown away if he plays in this game. We know that George Pickens will be back, although one can argue that's a minus for the total. I think ultimately this is pretty clearly like last stand for the Steelers defense. Their pass rush is solid. They're going to be able to at least disrupt the passing game, particularly in the absence of Zay Flowers. And so this comes down to the Ravens putting this thing away on the ground and eating the clock. And I can't get anywhere close to 44. So I still think that's the biggest edge, even though it's already moved a point and a half.
Okay. And nary aside, I didn't hear you say you're taking the Steelers plus the points.
No, but I will acknowledge that that is the correct side from a math standpoint. Okay. I think there's better ways to attack that, honestly.
Yeah.
Like Ravens team total under is a way to kind of mirror that, but you're kind of, you're, number one, you're protected from a push, and number two, you're protected from a Ravens defense just flat out shutting out the Steelers. Like Russell Wilson, we were making a joke in the last segment, like he is staring at the pass rush like it is like coming to eat him. and his the interior of the offensive line for the Steelers has completely eroded. The tackle play is poor right now. Like, that's sort of not being digested beyond just people are looking, oh, Steelers collapse, let's talk about Mike Tomlin, another late season collapse, let's see, like all of the narrative is missing the fact that the offensive line is getting their getting absolutely blown away, and the gimmicks and the sleight of hand that was helping Russell Wilson succeed through the middle of the season has been found out. And you know who generally learns? Opponents that you face multiple times a season, who are chewing on the tape constantly, who have just played you, just prepared for you. So yeah, I could see a world where the Steelers get shut out here, and in that case your +10 is drawing dead, much like it was last year against the Bills.
I'm with you. I guessed 7.5, and I love the Ravens, but I thought 10 is ridiculous. Also, I also like when you do the dumb voice, how you put the arms in as well.
I enjoy that. So game under, Drew, right? That's what that all called.
Game under.
Game under.
But I would also say, like, if you want the free points with the Steelers, parlay with the under, because I honestly, like, the Steelers are not covering the 10 because they have an offensive renaissance and they get to 23. It's not happening. I'm sorry.
Tennis really quick. We just came from Brisbane. Sure. Now we're in Adelaide. Now we're going to Melbourne. To Melbourne for the Aussie Open. I are doing a pre-draw pod on the Australian Open tomorrow. Thank you for joining me for that.
Ooh,
Do you have any plays in Adelaide later today?
No, I take this week off. I'm still really trying to evaluate the state of players. The match and the player that is the most interesting to me this week is surely young Ben Shelton. His serve in his style and his kind of progression at the age he is in his career is one of these years he will pop at the Australian Open and like be, oh, wait a minute, this guy's a top four player. Like, it's going to happen one year and it could be this year. And I'm very excited to see him in Adelaide. If you want any kind of action this week, I would just back his outright in Adelaide, which is like +360 or something like that. I think in general, like the women's draw is going to matter the most because there are probably 10 women who have a realistic chance to ship this. But that said, like the way you sort and order the top, Coco Gauff now the second choice for me after what she did in week one. Sabalenka still the favorite, but pretty narrow margin between them and the next six comers.
J-Rod wants to know, famous Iga fan, he wants to know, it's 5-1 on Iga to win the Australian Open. What do you think is fair?
My number is not that favorable, honestly. I'm in the 650 range, and it's mostly just because of you once you parse out all of the people who have more than a 5% chance to win, the pot is just it's pretty small. And yeah, she's going to need a god draw to really change to make 5-1 bet on, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll find out the draw here our state time Thursday night. Zach Cohen and I will do the post draw part of that podcast Friday morning. All right, Drew, real quick, NBA, we got a minute. What do you got tonight?
Well, as you noted earlier, hitting the espresso pretty hard this morning because I was up late last night watching my Heat +3.5 go down second overtime in Sacramento. I'm so angry. I woke up this morning and the first thing I did was bet the Golden State Warriors. I know it's an enormous number, but if this Heat team can even get out of bed, good on them. They are very shorthanded. This is a nasty fatigue spot for them against a Warriors team that's pretty well rested and fairly deep, even though they don't have any star power outside of Steph Curry. So yes, I bet the Warriors -9. I also have the Atlanta Hawks -6 on the road. They are actually kind of a sneaky underpriced team right now by market. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's been an enormous leap in the quality of play of Mr. Hunter, who is he's come on strong in the six man of the year market as well as the most improved market. And in general, I think the Hawks can pretty much win, pick the score here. And then lastly, I took the points with the... Sorry, I lost my spot.
All right.
I bet one of the dogs today. Oh, I bet the Pelicans. Yikes. Yuck. Why did I do that? I took the points on the Pelicans.
I'm looking at that too.
No wonder you forgot.
Oh, gross.
Thank you, Drew. Looking forward to talking more NBA with you in the coming weeks.
All right. Best of luck, guys.
Drew Dinsick on the Australian Open pre-draw pod with me tomorrow. Todd Wright next with all his super wild card thoughts.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In sports betting and trading, understanding probability is the ultimate game changer. Unlock the secrets of high probability trading with Todd Bubba Horowitz, a former floor trader and seasoned sports bettor with over 45 years of experience. Visit BubbaTrading.com/VSiN today. Use promo code VSiN500 to save $500. Don't miss your chance to sharpen your strategy, gain the edge in your trading game. That's BubbaTrading.com/VSiN, promo code VSiN500. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not often that we are graced with this gentleman's presence, but we're always thrilled to do segments with him. He was kind enough to join us at the D, remember, live in person last year.
One of the brave few.
One of the brave few. We get him courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line right now. It's Mike Somich, ladies and gentlemen, at SomoBomb18 on the Twitter machine. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. I'm doing good. Excited the regular season's over. Looking forward to the playoffs here. Phenomenal football weekend. I mean, we got the college football playoffs Thursday and Friday night, roll right into the NFL playoffs. And we got hockey going, boys. Hockey is officially back here. And now that the NFL is rolling down, we got more time to focus on it. So excited to get into some pucks as well.
Ready, set, bet. We'll be all over the football this weekend, I assume.
Oh, yeah. We will be talking a lot of football. I will try and sneak some hockey in, too. Matt doesn't always allow me to, but we'll be on 4 to 7 Pacific, 7-10 Eastern on Saturday, live betting that late Saturday game, talking about the Sunday games. And then Sunday night, we'll be on from 5 to 8 Pacific, 8 to 11 Eastern. And we'll be talking about the future lines, which are already up on some books, by the way. You can already bet mythical division matchups over on DraftKings and a couple other books as well.
Okay, let's start there. Let's get the hockey out of the way. You have any plays tonight in hockey?
I do. Favorite play tonight, we're going to go to the Winnipeg Jets. I'm going to lay the goal and a half. Right now, you can get that at plus 160. This is a game which opened minus 140 for Winnipeg, plus 120 for Nashville, and it has been steamed out to the Jets. I agree with it. I actually made the fair right around minus 170 for Winnipeg here. They've lost three games in a row. Three back, it was to Colorado. The last two were at home to Anaheim and Detroit. Not very good hockey teams. But if you look at moneypuck.com, which gives you essentially analytical projections of the expected goals and the expected win percentage, they were expected to win both those games by 70% or higher. Simply put, their goalie let them down. Hellebuyck does not usually let the Winnipeg Jets down. Currently 14-4 at home. They're taking on the Preds, who are 5-13 on the road. So I laid the goal and a half with the Predators here at minus one and a half, plus 160. If you don't want to play as risky of a move, you can get Jets in regulation. That's minus 105 right now. I like both of those quite a bit.
Okay, you said you laid it with the Predators. Is that what you meant to say?
Or
you...
No, I laid it with the Jets.
Okay.
Minus one and a half with the Jets, plus 160.
Gotcha. That's the only hockey play today, yes?
One more. Let's throw the Penguins on there, too. I want to play against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They are 4-17 on the road. Penguins have been playing pretty good hockey as of late, and they're coming back from a three-game road trip to play their first at home as well. Laid the goal and a half with the Penguins as well. That's plus 160 on the Penguins, minus 1.5 against the Blue Jackets.
And you alluded to hockey futures being out there. Did you make any bets yet?
I don't have anything big in the hockey futures market. I felt like I missed the boat with the Oilers. They fired their coach midseason, and we've seen them really progress and turn around. Feel like they are the best team in the Western Conference right now. The Eastern Conference is still trying to sort it out. A team like the Rangers, I don't think is a bad team to look at. They're an absolute mess right now, but sometimes that's the best place you can get value. And with hockey, you just got to get in the tournament, and anything can happen. They've got good goaltending. They've got offensive force, and you'd expect them to make some deadline moves. So I'm kind of eyeing that Rangers price, but haven't put anything to the account yet.
Okay, let's go to the National Football League. Before we get to the pre-flop bets that you've made, it's not often during this time slot that we get things released and in real time we can react to them. But we had some props released for all of these Super Wild Card weekend games. And you have actually, I don't know if you've pressed the submit button yet, but you're about to if you haven't. Let's go to the Commanders and the Buccaneers. You like a couple here.
I do. I think this is going to be one of the higher scoring games of the weekend. I was really hoping they would give us a 48 total and I could pop the over. Unfortunately, it opened up at 50.5, which I think is the correct total. But I do think that the props are a little bit low on a couple guys that just recently got released. First one, Jalen McMillan, who is the number two wide receiver for this Buccaneers team. He's gone over 50 yards in five straight games now. The prop got released at 48.5. It's a very gettable Washington secondary. They're going to roll over double coverage on Mike Evans, and that's going to set up opportunities for Jalen McMillan. So I like him quite a bit over the 48.5 receiving yards.
The other prop that I want to look at here is Jaden Daniels rushing yards prop. Right now sitting at 46.5. Let's take the over there as well. He had gone over three straight games before week 18. Week 18, he only plays one half. But however, if he had played the full game, he was on pace to go over against that Cowboys defense. What I think really jumps out in watching the Commanders the last few weeks is that they need Daniels to run the football, to be able to effectively and consistently move the football. I expect he's going to be running, especially in such a high leverage game here, since it's a road playoff game. So I'll take Daniels over the 46.5 rushing yards as well.
All right, that's the Sunday night primetime game between the Commodores and the Buccaneers. You like a prop in the Bills-Broncos game as well.
I do. I was trying to find a way to bet this game. Again, opened at 8.5, got blasted out to 10, so kind of got out of teaser range there. But when the props hit, and you can see Bo Nix sitting there at over 220.5 passing yards, that kind of caught my eye here. When you've got a spread that this big, you're expecting you're going to be in chase mode from a Broncos standpoint. This is a secondary for the Bills that's still not an elite secondary. The pass rush, not phenomenal. And this is a very good offensive line from the Broncos standpoint. So I think they can protect Bo Nix. I think the Bills win this game, but I think Bo Nix has to throw the football, especially in the second half. So let's go over 220.5 passing yards here for Bo Nix, who's going to be in chase mode late.
I like it. Insta reactions to props just released on Super Wildcard Weekend games. All right, let's get to your pre-flop bets in these games, beginning with the Eagles and the Packers. You bet this one larger than anything.
I did. I backed the Brinks truck up right when the line opened. It opened at Philadelphia -3.5. And I just vehemently disagree with what this line came out at. If you go back and you rewind all the way to São Paulo there in Brazil, opening game of the season, these two teams met and the Eagles were -1.5 in that game on a neutral. So right away, you'd say it's -3 at home. Well, I look at my rankings from the beginning of the season and I've upgraded the Eagles almost 3.5 points. I've upgraded the Packers about a half point, which makes this line 6.5 for me. So I am heavily on the Eagles side here. Even at the 4.5, I still think it's worth a bet to play the Eagles. This Packers team, I think, is just overrated by the market. And I think you can see that over the last 3 or 4 weeks where they were a short dog to Minnesota. They're not a team that I believe as much as the market does. I've seen them rated as high as 3 or 4 in the past couple weeks. And I think they're more around that 7-8 type range currently, especially with the injuries we're going to have. Christian Watson announced out for the season, and we're not sure what we're going to get from Love. To me, this is an easy play on the Eagles here. I'd actually play it up to -5.5. So I would still play the Eagles here at -4.5. But this was my biggest bet of the weekend at Eagles -3.5.
Dare we call it a Samo bomb?
You could dare.
No, nothing. We don't have the Samo bomb thing, right?
That's only a D graphic there.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say this about the Packers, that I think of all 14 playoff teams, they're the one to me that has the most, the widest range of outcomes in any performance. Would you agree with that? Or at least I'm in the ballpark with that, because I don't know what I would expect from them. They could be awesome. They could suck. I don't think I'd be surprised by either.
I think that's pretty fair. I would say that the Packers and the Buccaneers are the two teams that I feel that way about, where you have all these explosive pieces on the offense for the Buccaneers, similar to what you've got on the Packers. And to me, there's questions on both of those defenses. It feels like you're paying the price of the Packers last year in the playoffs and what we saw with them having this dynamic offense, be able to move the football up and down the field with an expectation the defense is going to be better. I'm not really sure why we expect this defense to be better after everything that we saw throughout this season. And this offense just hasn't been nearly as explosive, and they're banged up in the wide receiving core. One of their big edges is, hey, we've got four wide receivers who could all be, we'll call them 1Bs, 2As, somewhere in that range. And we got Kraft. So we've got all of these different pieces plus Jacobs. Well, all those pieces aren't healthy. And Jordan Love hasn't been as good as Jordan Love was down the stretch there. And now he's banged up. I agree with you. The upside for this Packers team's high. I think that's why they are rated so highly. But the problem is they just haven't been able to achieve that ceiling very often this season. And I think it's true. Kind of ridiculous to assume they will this time.
Let's go to the first game chronologically of the Super Wild Card Weekend games. The Chargers and the Texans in their favorite spot there to begin Wild Card Weekend. 8 out of 8 appearances in the early Saturday window. TJ Yates is not walking through that door for the Texans. You like a side and a total here.
I do. I have a small bet, put a small bet on Chargers -2.5, -110 when it originally was released. We're sitting at, you know, there's some -2.5s, -120, -125 out there in the market. I would wait. Like, I understand why this is currently sitting where it is at that 2.5-3 number. If you look ahead, the Chiefs would be a 4.5-point favorite over the Chargers. They'd be a 7-point favorite over the Texans. So that tells you that the market's saying 3.5 on a neutral, which means it should probably be 2.5. However, I want to bet against this Texans team. It's Nico Collins and nothing else on the offensive side. I'm not scared of Joe Mixon. I don't think he's one of those backs that can create big plays. And I want to bet against Slowick in the playoffs here, who's the offensive coordinator for the Texans. It's run, and then try and convert third and long for CJ Stroud. That's a very difficult thing to do, especially in the playoffs. Also like the under here, 42.5. This one's readily available right now, so I would play the under as well. I think both these defenses match up very well against the offenses.
All right. Chargers side under in the game. Chargers side a little smaller than the others, you said, bet-wise?
That's the smallest bet I have out there. I just want to bet against this Texans team. And when I saw the -2.5, I felt like, you know, you get Chargers, they don't have to win by margin. I'll take a piece.
All right. Mike Somich, everybody, at SomoBomb18 again, co-host of Ready, Set, Bet with our buddy Matt Brown. Thank you, Mike. Great seeing you, man. Mike Somich, out of there already. He's got to bet some horses. He's like, I'm out. Coming back. Wrapping things up next.